Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning our topic is the God of all comfort. And I'm going to be reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. I'm going to be reading beginning at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we ourselves suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and here's the purpose clause, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This passage of Scripture is very, very vital for every believer to understand in depth. Indeed, the understanding that Paul brings to the walk of the believer, or the walk of the believing ones, plural, is that because they have been placed in a new situation that we commonly call salvation, that God is doing something through their lives or through our lives on a daily basis, and that is God is preparing us to share his glory. Paul wrote in Romans 8 that we are being conformed to the image of his dear son. I want you to really look at what God has provided for us here, and in verse 3, Paul writes, eulogetos, hotheos, it is blessed be the God, masculine article before the noun God in the Greek. Blessed be the God, even the pater or the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the father who is characterized by mercy. Then we have Kai, and the God of all comfort. Paul uses a very interesting word that has come over to us as comfort. Paraklesios. Paraklesios. The prefix para means to come alongside, and kaleo means to call. So using the prefix para and the word kaleo, we have the word parakleon or paraklesion in verse 3. And so this very important doctrinal term means to call by the side for aid and comfort, to call by the side for aid and comfort. There is no doubt that believers or the believing ones will be faced with very trying circumstances. And Paul will tell us that the circumstances that we face all have a purpose. But the purpose that they have are mainly hidden in God. Because God does give us comfort in the midst of trials. We have experienced this. And you and I know this. God has comforted us. And the comfort that God has provided may not have been what we wanted or expected. Because God's purpose is higher than ours. His ways are not our way. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. God is working out within us his plan of salvation. And so, let me say at this point that one of the greatest doctrines embedded in the New Testament documents is that of suffering with Christ. Suffering with Christ. Now, please look carefully at verse 4. Who comforts or who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is a fantastic verse, and it shows us a balance. It shows us, or it teaches the completeness of what God is doing. Indeed, we are not isolated entities. We are members one of another. We are the body of Christ. Paul's great letter to the Ephesians teaches about the body of Christ. Paul's great letter to the church at Colossae, or his letter to the Colossians, teaches about the head of the body, who is the Iesus, or the living Christ. Our salvation is experiential. That is, we are here now, wherever we might be, may be. God has chosen where he wants us. He has placed us in the body where his sovereign will has decided us to be. Every believer will or has experienced tribulation of some kind. Now, it is very interesting that in verse 4, Paul uses the word tribulation, or the word has come to us, or come over into the English as tribulation. The word, this is from a word called philipsis in the Greek, and this word means to break or crush, compress, squeeze. It means grievous affliction or distress. It also means a pressure or burden upon the spirit. Then Paul writes, beginning with the purpose clause, that we may be able, that is, that we may have the power to comfort them which are in any trouble. Through the instrumentality of the comfort whereby we ourselves are comforted of God. And if you look at the plural pronoun we, it is in the emphatic position. It is an emphatic pronoun and placed in the position, in this particular position in the text, in order to emphasize something very, very strategic and important. There is the divine balance about what God is doing in our lives, what God allows to come into our lives. If you remember the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, notice in chapter 1 of Job, and that what Job is going to experience has limitations put in place by God. The Satan was allowed to do so much, period, and that there was that divine boundary beyond which he could not pass. It is popularly believed that the book of Job is about the suffering of believers. And there is every reason to believe that, but there's a greater reason that we have this very important book called the Book of Job. The Book of Job presents to us mainly the freedom of God. The freedom of God. God demonstrated his freedom, and God also demonstrated his righteousness through the life of Job. It is a very important book to study and to really grasp the truths that God has embedded within that very important document. But as we return to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, again, I want you to see what Paul has set up and the balance that he elucidates about what the believer suffers. His suffering, or the suffering of the believer, is called suffering with Christ, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, for as the sufferings of Christ superabound in us, so our consolation, our comfort, also superabounds by Christ. The believer is placed within Christ, or he is said to be in Christ, Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians. And because he has been placed in Christ, his old situation has passed away. That is a great positional truth. That is a great positional truth. But God, right now, or during the first century, during the life of Paul and other believers, God was working out of their lives those things which would hinder his divine work. God knows exquisitely what to bring into our lives in order to separate us from people, things, and situations that are not in the divine will for us. It is interesting that when Saul was informed that he would lose his kingship and that God was not going to use his lineage or his family anymore, and that David would now be the new king, it is interesting that Saul was the king whom the people desired because of his physical appearance. He was tall and he was handsome. And that was the extent of his resume. But God chose a shepherd who would become leader, become the leader of his people. And this shepherd had integrity and courage. But embedded within the narrative of Saul and David and that relationship is a picture of how God uses maybe a situation or an individual or circumstances to bring about his desired change within the life of a believer. We read that Saul tried to pin David to the wall twice, and that David learned to run and to get away. But David would never pick up that spear that Saul tossed at him in order to toss it back. God used Saul to shape David into his man. And as we read the narrative, we read about the mental breakdown for Saul. And for 13 long years, Saul pursued David. And David, in those years, learned to trust in God. Yes, David suffered. Yes, David suffered greatly. But it is true that divinely allowed suffering that the shepherd became the great poet king of Israel. He became the king God wanted for his people. God's ways are not our ways. But yet when we speak about the character of God, emphasizing his freedom, we say, who can say, what doest thou? But we know our God is loving. And Paul writes to us that in verse 3, that our God is the Father of mercies. We have a merciful God. God knows the things that are embedded in our lives that are not conducive to his own glory. Remember Isaiah's words when he beheld the theophany or the vision of the glory of God. He said, I am a man of unclean lips. See, the glory of God and the presence of God made him confess what he believed or what he knew to be within himself. On one of the first occasions that Simon, who was later to become Peter, met the Jesus, he said, depart from me, O Lord, because I am a sinful man. Simon understood who and what he was. But then God spoke to him in the person of the Jesus in such a way as to let him know that his life would be forever changed. He would be set in a new situation and that God would use him mightily. But you and I know from reading the scriptures the road that Peter had to follow in order to get the spiritual maturity. It was anything but smooth. It was anything but a journey filled with rose petals. Peter faced some very difficult situation. And through it all, through Peter's spiritual ineptitude, as it were, God did not abandon him. God does not abandon. And so God held on to Peter during his most difficult time. Peter, under pressure, denied that he knew his Lord. And the Jesus had predicted Peter's behavior with incredible accuracy. Iesus showed Peter himself. Peter would come to know that Iesus knew who he was all along. And that he loved him. Not in spite of what Peter was, but because of who Peter was. He loved Peter. The Aces loved Peter. Indeed, he gave him a new name. He changed his name from Simon to Peter. A stone. He gave him a new name, indicative of a new identity. Indicative of the fact that God had placed him in a new situation. This one, who did not answer his new name when he was given that new name, but through the great work of God in his life, Peter would answer to his new name. Peter went through great suffering. Peter experienced great suffering that crushed the pride within his heart. But God used circumstances. God used a nameless individual to point Peter out as he stood by the fire with the others, hearing what was going on the night of the arrest of Jesus. Someone recognized him. And then Peter began his great journey. The journey into his own heart and into the darkness that was there, that God knew was there, but God was going to see to it that it would be eradicated or taken out of his life. It is wonderful the way God deals with his own and how he speaks to his own. And yes, we face tribulation or we face trials that are difficult for us. But then, once again, in verse 5, we read, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," present indicative, going on now, the statement of fact, passive, that these things are going on in our lives through the power of God and through the will of God. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Verse 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." Notice, Paul writes, "which we also suffer." "Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." And our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, that is, of the sufferings of Christ, the doctrine of the sufferings of Christ is embedded, once again, in the writings of Paul and in the New Testament documents, so that you shall be also of the consolation. Now, notice, Paul is not speaking about believers who become their own worst enemies through the practice of sin, or living the life of the flesh. Believers who walk outside of the will of God, or who live outside of the will of God, become their own worst enemies. The breakdown, the spiritual breakdown, will happen. The believer, on the other hand, who walks with the living Christ, who lives his or her life as appropriate before God, as is appropriate before God, has the certainty of the power of God in his or her life when facing conflict, when facing pressure, when dealing with situations that are due to the fact that he or she are enduring the sufferings of Christ. These things can become very involved and very, very difficult. You and I at times experience pressure or a burden upon the spirit. Now, Paul had a very active and very vital and very fruitful ministry. Paul said himself that he wanted to take the gospel into brand new areas. Paul always wanted to be a pioneer in the work of God, and indeed he was. This man was stoned and taken out of a particular city and left for dead. But that situation did not discourage Paul. Just think about that. He wasn't discouraged about the treatment and the behavior that he experienced at this particular city. And we're told in the book of Acts that Paul got up, went back into that city, and he left that city on his own terms. When we read in Romans 1, where Paul writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul is serious. Paul was very serious. There is that resistance to the message of God, because the message of God talks about the true inherent condition of man. But the message of God also contains that which gives deliverance. indeed, the cross is about rescue. It is about deliverance. It is about the only deliverer. And the deliverer has given to the ones whom he has delivered salvation. And he has given us his Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are given our consolation. God is our comforter. Notice verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. That is, that we were pressed on out of measure. That is, we were weighed down. We were weighed down. Paul talks about, in verse 8, the word trouble is dilipsios. That is, we felt crushed, squeezed. We felt compressed, and we were distressed. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. He goes on. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but notice the purpose of God. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. What a very different picture of who we are that God has and what he wants to do with our lives. God wants to win us out from trusting ourselves to trusting him. God wants to win us from our focus on our solutions to what is going on in our lives so that we might understand the divine purpose. God wants us to have divine viewpoint thinking governing our lives. Not human understanding wedded to divine wisdom. God wants us to have divine viewpoint thinking governing our lives. We are told that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. The final basis or foundation of our understanding of our lives is not empirical, not based on what we see, not based on what we hear. And as we listen to the things that are said in the popular press, how much of it do you really believe? How much of what is said in the popular press do you really trust? It is important that we know that we have a God who does not and cannot lie. It is not within the divine essence to lie. Let God be true and every man liar. And so God wanted to teach these believers how to trust only in Him. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, beginning at verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, which reads, "For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Again, that word affliction is a word we have been discussing in 2 Corinthians. It is the word thalipsis. It means to crush or to squeeze. It means a burden upon the spirit. "Having received the word in much affliction," much affliction, note the adjective in front of the noun affliction, but something is also added. There is that balance. "Having received the word in much affliction," and then the balance is given, "with joy of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that beautiful? Now, because of this experience, in verse 7, Paul writes, "So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." So here is a wonderful expression of what God does in the life or in the lives of those who are experiencing the sufferings of Christ, believers who are living lives that are consistent with God's will for them. This, again, this has nothing to do with believers who are living outside of the will of God, but this is the encouragement that is given to believers that are living within the will of God. There is that joy that the Holy Spirit gives in the midst of tribulation. Have you ever experienced a wonderful peace when you found yourself going through a particular trial and you have wondered, why isn't this affecting me the way I think it should or the way others think it should be affecting me? Why do I have this wonderful peace or this joy? Not happiness, but joy. The happiness is dependent upon circumstances. The joy speaks about what is going on inside. Joy is about the new situation in which God has set us through the aces. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And I will speak to you next time. This is your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. I'll speak to you next time on Pneumatic Calls.